This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Label Clothing Company. They have been a huge supporter of mine for many years now. And anytime you see me wearing a dress shirt or a suit, it is from them. Everything is custom made. And anyone who knows me knows I hate wearing suits and I hate wearing dress shirts. I not only look dapper, but the clothes feel great and wear really well. So anyone in the need of a custom suit, definitely hit them up. You can find them online at label.co. What is up, everybody? Anthony Vasquez here with my last guest of the year, none other than my father, Hector. You guys have, if you listen in, have heard me talk about him many times on the podcast, so this one's a special treat. I finally found out where I learned to talk so much from. It's from my father. I don't think I got many words in edgewise with the guy, but he definitely drops some Hector wisdom on life, what it was like coming to this country, not speaking English, and building a life for himself and his family. As well as raising his two sons, myself and my brother, Joey. So without further ado, I bring you none other than my father, Hector Vasquez. What is up, everybody? Today, I'm joined by a special guest. Many of you have heard his name, or at least me reference him as my father on the podcast. His name is Hector, and he has decided to join us for our last show of the year. This is a special one for me because so much of what I talk about in terms of work ethic and creating the business that we have created here comes from the role and the way I always viewed what my father did. So without further ado, I bring you my father, Hector. Hello. Say hello, Dad. Hello. So, Dad, on the show, I talk a lot about your upbringing, right? So if you could tell everyone, you're one of what, 10? How many siblings do you have?
We were nine.
And you grew up in a house with how many bedrooms?
One bedroom.
All right.
So we only five in that bedroom.
Okay.
No, we are two.
Two in that bedroom?
Two in that bedroom.
And how many kids were there total? Nine?
What do you mean?
You're the oldest of nine?
Yes.
So you have eight younger siblings?
Well, it was brother from mother and brother from father.
Ah.
And from father, we were five.
Okay.
So we were all nine altogether.
Nine altogether.
But I was the biggest one in the fight.
Mm.
And we were born in San Juan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not easy life. My father worked very hard.
Mm.
And, you know, I say I never had that many children. Too many children is no good.
So how old were you when you came to the mainland United States?
I was in my 20s. I came in the 60s, and it was not easy.
What year did you come in?
The 60s. We were not allowed in New York to speak Spanish.
Mm.
They don't want science and business in Spanish. You know? But, I liked the idea because I was forced to learn English a little bit. And from that time, I learned a lot. And I was looking for a job, looking, you know, I walk. And I said, well, I gotta find a job. So one day, I was kind of hungry.
Mm.
And they sell, they have those places there, they take your blood.
Mm.
So a pint was $5.
Mm.
So I said, take my pint, okay? So with that $5, I went to Times Square, $1.19, it's big steak with a potato. And I was happy. And then I went to Radio City, it was $1.25 for a movie and a show.
Mm.
And that day, those days, you know, the show was 15 cents. And I knew it was not easy. Life was not easy, you know, because I don't have that many. But I keep like walking and looking and looking. And I was trying to, I looked at the people in the subway, and they didn't speak Spanish, and didn't speak English. They were Spanglish.
Mm. Spanglish.
Right. I said, oh, my God. But then I said, like, I couldn't understand what they talk. They talk in English, Spanish. But anyhow, and I said, no. I said to myself, someday I'll have a son.
Mm.
They're going to have to speak good English. No Spanish.
So that's why you didn't speak to me in Spanish growing
right,
up?
Right, correct. Because I figured it, you have a better chance if you speak English better, like the American, then there's somebody don't speak, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. If you're in this country, you have to learn good English.
Yeah.
Okay? I will tell you a story. The subway was 15 cents.
Mm-hmm.
I got it one talking. So I figured if I go downtown, how I'm going to come back?
Mm.
So I figured, So usually people used to jump and go underground.
Mm.
Under. I went like this. A cop got me. So I said, what happened? He said, you didn't pay the subway. I said, well, I only got one token. I got to come back. He said, no, you are the best. You didn't jump and you don't went on the ground. So he took me to court. And I said, oh, my God. And the judge asked me, wait, what happened? I said, well, I only got one token. I got to come up. He said, okay, case dismissed. You imagine for 15 cents? But anyhow, the life was not easy for the Spanish people here. What I saw, the things I see, and it was easy to get welfare than a job.
Mm.
And I said, no, me, no welfare. Mm. I don't know the welfare in this country. I tried not to, you know? And if you come to this country, you had to work, try to work even from the bottom to top.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, if you get started getting help from the governor, you will never get up.
Mm.
Will never, because you are used to it to everything come. And no, you got to hustle. You have to be hustling, really. And I love this country.
Mm.
United States, the best country in the world.
Mm. What was your first job, Dad, in the U.S.?
Oh, I was a bus boy.
Mm. Where?
And there was a hotel in 44th Street, Piccadilly Hotel. And the kitchen was 20 steps downstairs. So I'm coming down to go into the kitchen, and the guy said, I learned a lot from the Jewish people. The waiter was, you said, where you going? He said, I'm going downstairs. He said, no, take something going down, and when you're coming up, bring something up.
Mm.
You have to protect your leg. And you know, you listen, you learn. Mm. And that was my first job there. It was not easy. You imagine you had to go 40, 15 steps to go to the kitchen to get butter.
Mm.
It was not easy.
What did you make a day there?
Well, in those days, I was making about $15 a day. It was good money, because $15 in the 60s was a lot of good money. And I worked in a few hotels, and every place I worked, I learned something from people.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to listen to people, so you learn to survive.
Mm.
And
then where'd you work after that?
Then I went to New Jersey Alpine Country Club.
Okay.
There I learned.
How funny. You know, people pay me a lot of money to work there now.
Uh-huh.
I said, people pay me a lot of money to work there now.
Well, Alpine, I learned, and there was something the Jewish people saying, he's a smoke. A smoke. Like what?
Schmuck.
Smoke. So I said, so I asked, I don't want to know, you know what I mean? He said, well, what does that mean? He said, well, it means the guy taking a shower, get out of the shower to take a leak. And I said, oh, really? He said, that's a schmuck.
Yeah, that's a schmuck, right.
Then I learned how they all work and they all taste together. And I learned a lot from that place. And it was good. I was like the pantry man.
Mm.
I used to make salad, and it was a good job. I was making $300 because I was working two shifts from 8 to 4 and from 4 to 12.
Mm.
And you got to work, my friend. And we make a lot of money there. And from there on, you know, we used to get 6 months unemployment and 6 months work in that club. I love that place. Never forget. I really learned a lot.
Mm.
I learned the different from the other nationality. I learned a millionaire, he will send his child to paint and buy him an old car, work in the club. And in other words, for the kid, I see the kid, you know, his father's a millionaire, but he's painting the building.
Mm.
So there's a different thing. Just because you were born rich, you had to work for your money.
Mm, I don't know if people still do that with their kids in 2019. That might have been in the
70s. Well, that was a different, it's a different ball game.
When did you leave New York?
Oh, I went leave New York. Mm. Well, I decided to go to California. Mm-hmm. And from California, I met Lucy, my okay. wife.
Yep, mm. my mother.
Your mother, yeah. from California, we went to Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Rough state.
Yep.
But I like it there. They hear you, they'll tell you. Mm. They are not hip.
What was it like being Spanish in Oklahoma in 1980?
That's the question.
What was it like being Spanish in Oklahoma in 1980?
Well, I have a little problem there because the guy was rough. And he said, you come from Aram.
No, they thought
I said,
no,
I come from Puerto Rico. Yeah. So he said, oh, okay. But you look from Aram because there was problem in the hostage mm-hmm. that day. So I said, okay. And Oklahoma is a beautiful state. And everybody got weapon there. I mean, it's like you're having a toy in the table. Mm-hmm. Everybody. And I did okay there. I mean, I got a good job. But then I was in charge of the people from Oklahoma and the condominium. The woman said, "Well, Hector, you're gonna be the boss," because I knew electric, plumbing, mm. swimming pool. You know, I have this skill. Mm. And I said, "Oh, I got all those guys." And I said, "What?" But I give him work, but I work more than them. Mm. So I show him that. You know, I'm not gonna sit down. You have to, if you're the boss, you have to work more than the employee, mm. so they know. And there, you were born, mm. my Tony there.
Oh, man.
He born in
1980, Dad.
wait a minute. The hospital was Catholic. So the nun come said to me. Mr. Vasquez, we have a problem. I said, what is your problem, sister? Well, your boy, being that you Spanish, we cannot put him white. I said, no, you're absolutely right. Don't put him white. Put him Caucasian.
What do they want to put me, black?
Well, because they figure that all the Spanish people, they're all black. Oh. I mean, but we have all the island, we have all kinds of people. Mm. And you got all kinds of people, you know. We got my country. I got a red-haired woman. They blonde, red hair, blue. You know, it's a mix, unbelievable. Eh? But they look and they, once you, it doesn't matter what the skin is. Your name, if your Spanish is Spanish, they consider that you're not 100% white. You know, but what is the difference? You're still gonna die anyhow. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? You know.
Thank you for that. I would have been hard with the wrong color on my birth certificate my whole life. People would have asked if it was me.
Well, I don't know about that. Well, I don't know how they put in your birth certificate. I never see it.
I saw it. It says white.
White, okay. But
there's only two boxes, though. White.
But the problem is they sometimes discriminate you not for your color of your skin. They discriminate you for your name. Mm. You know, your last name, too. And the worst discrimination is between us two. You want to say what I say? Between us.
I follow you, yeah.
Okay. Nobody is a prophet in his own country. Mm. You understand what mm-hmm. that? You know? In other words, there's the jealousy. Mm.
Do you ever feel that in this country you weren't treated right because you were Spanish?
No, not really, because it was like I knew already ahead of time, mm-hmm. and it's no matter how you feel, is how long you're gonna live. Oh. You see, and the harder you work, the longer you live. The people that are sitting, they don't live too long. Mm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit more about your childhood. What was it like growing up in Puerto Rico in the 40s and 50s?
Oh my lord! Well. I was 5 years old. In Puerto Rico, when you were 5 years old, you were not allowed to be a night of clock in the street. Mm. The cop catch you, he takes his belt, and he hit you. And then you cannot tell your father because he will hit you again. Mm-hmm. So it was more respect. And And they have a 9 o'clock. Everybody got to be, all the children home, nobody in the street. And in the island, it was beautiful because it was not that many people. And my father used to work very hard to support us. And we live in a room with no windows. My mother used to cook outside in the brick. And I say, oh my God, I look at that. And it was very, was like a, I don't know, it's like a new world. Mm. And then you look and you see things. And I remember the woman used to come to see me. See, that was little. I said, oh, we're going to come to see Hector, the little baby. Mm. And it was very beautiful baby. And I said, oh, where did all this woman want to see me? But it was a good life. Mm. But
What age did you start working, Dad?
What?
What age did you start having to go to work?
Well, when I was 12, I used to go to people's house. Mm-hmm. And I said, listen, I paint you all the thing, I break the concrete, I put a piece of pie, I help them out, I solve the problem, mm-hmm. $15. $15 was good money. And then I helped an electrician. I was about 10 years old. He showed me. I learned. God bless him. Mm-hmm. Because when that electrical well, I could get a job in the United States because mm-hmm. I know electric.
Yep.
You know? Then in Oklahoma, my God, when you're Spanish, you're not supposed to know. Because you're not supposed to know. So I'm working in the building in Oklahoma. You were a baby. And I said to the former, the electric is not good in the building. He said, no, you're not an engineer. I said, the electric is not good. So they called. The engineer said, he's right. So he said, they asked me that question a couple of times with the way I come from. Mm. How do I know the electric? You're not supposed to know. Mm. I mean, it is weird because if any minority in this country have an idea, they should use it. Mm. You know? Mm-hmm. Because they're entitled to use your idea. Maybe it's good, Tony. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I believe in that, you know?
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that. So why do you work? Why did you work so hard?
Well, it's easy. When you work hard, you look at time. And you're moving from 8 to 12, half an hour, and then for 12. And then you look at the time, you say, shit, the time went out, my 8 hours already gone. And then and if you're good, and this overtime, you take overtime. Mm. I used to work my overtime, my holiday, my birthday, my sick leave, New Year's, Christmas.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Yeah, okay, but then... there was something that I did. I did all those days, I sacrificed, but then my day off, I used to go to a nice place and enjoy my, you know. Right? Work don't kill you. What kill you is just sitting down and don't do nothing. Mm. Well, and in the Hotel Piccadilly, I used to work in Manhattan. It was in 44th Street. And it was weird working there. And I was a good-looking guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was. So, but I never denied my background. Uh-huh. So, this beautiful woman, teenager, say, Hector, I like you, say, but I told him that I was Spanish. So he say, oh. She didn't talk to me the next day. Mm. You know, so I asked the other guy, and he said, well, we have... There's not to be, we had no good reputation. I said, okay, I'll fix that. I met another beautiful woman, and she said, where you come from? I'm Greek. I'm a Greek man. My name is Hector. Hector is a Greek name, you know? So I learned that sometimes, you know, you learn from everything in life. And to know the truth of life, you had to be hungry. Mm. And with hungry, you know. That's why. And September 11, these people went crazy here. Because they used it to open, and there's the weather, not everything. All of a sudden, when you learn how to, there's nothing to eat, mm-hmm. and there's the panic, mm-hmm. no train, people went, you know? Mm. So I went through all that anyway. It was a lot of time with nothing to eat. Mm-hmm. You know, so you learn. Now, if I'm not hungry, I'm okay. Because I learned.
What was the hardest part when you brought your family here? Because how old were you when you started bringing your brothers here?
Well, in the 70s, I was, it was not easy. I could not get a good job. You know, it was not easy. Then I went back and forth. Then I went to Oklahoma, and I went to California. From California, I went to Oklahoma. From Oklahoma, I came back to New York. Mm-hmm. And nothing is impossible. I was here, and I told my boss, I'm going to go get the camp permit. Mm. He said, oh, they're not going to give it to you. I said, well, I'm going to try. See, nothing is impossible. So he said, okay, this is unbelievable. So I say, I went down there. They took my fingerprint. They took my picture. They asked me, what did you want a gun? I know the answer. I say, I want a gun to protect my family. Mm-hmm. I don't want a gun to shoot somebody in the street. Mm-hmm. So I say, okay. I went back there. They give me my gun permit. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to give it to me. You know what I mean? Because you're not in those days. A Spanish guy get a gun permit for the house. Tony, no way.
So wait, how old were you when you brought your brother over from Puerto Rico?
Oh, I brought my brother. I think I was about 20, 25 already. I brought it. It was funny, something about him. We were living in the barrio, 110. Mm-hmm. And he came, and he didn't speak English. He was very smart. He became well off this day, very well off. So you see, I'm very happy about him, you know?
So why did you work so hard? I know you said it was to pass time, but it's got to be something more than that. So I know you were hungry. Was it, you never wanted to be hungry again?
It was weird. I was very healthy, very strong. I like to work, to do dirty job, and I do all kinds of dirty job. And I'm here, you know. And I guess it's destiny. Mm-hmm. Destiny, you know.
Destiny.
Destiny, you know. And even though, well, I always say I want to have two boys. Ah. And they come.
Two boys.
Two boys.
So did you ever think you'd have children graduate college in the United States?
Well, that's a beautiful question. Well, the only thing got me confused about my son, about you, that I couldn't understand how do you have good grade and you never study. my son used to come home. I never saw him open a book. He graduated 3.9. But how did you make this? I never saw you studying. I said, well, you know, I don't know. And I said, well, that's good. Hmm. That's good. That's good memory.
What advice would you give for people who don't work that hard, but like they want something in life, but they don't want to do the work for it?
Well, I believe if you work hard, you have to first, life, you have to look at it, it's beautiful. You have to work hard, and you could accomplish. You put in your mind that you're going to want that. And even if you don't get that, like a teacher say, try to go to the moon, and if you can, bring some star. Mm-hmm. See? So you try hard. And it's not easy, but you have to surrounded with good people, and then you take advice. But if you're surrounded with people that don't know nothing, you're not going to make it.
That makes sense. Right. What about advice to people who complain about working too much? So one thing I got to say is I never heard you complain. So you always worked a lot, whether it was 6 or 7 days a week, but you never complained about it to me.
The people that complain about work. Mm. Well, I don't think that's a very negative thing about a person, because he should be lucky that he have a job.
Mm.
You know, because if you look at the street, you pay probably a job, and you probably, look, work is work. No matter where you go, you have to work because you got to pay your bills.
Mm-hmm.
And you're entitled to look for a better job.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure you got the better job before you lose the other job.
Yep.
Because then you'll be in a limbo.
Mm-hmm.
You have to love the job like you love a woman,
mm-hmm.
really. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, because if you can angry to work, you make everybody angry, and you should be happy
mm-hmm.
in the job. And then when you get there, you go, and it's not easy. It's very difficult to find a person that really love the job.
Mm-hmm.
It is human. You're the human.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, I don't know. Everybody's different,
mm-hmm.
you know? And you have to love your job, in other words.
Yeah.
That's what I say. Okay?
Yeah, but there were days I'm sure you didn't want to go to work. You still did. Like when you were tired or you worked too much, you still went to work.
In other words, if you're tired, but you still want to go to work.
No, let's say you're tired, right? Uh-huh. You worked a lot of days in a row.
Right.
It's cold out. Maybe you want to take a day off, but you never took a day off.
Well,
I don't remember ever you taking days off.
I think that it's very rare. Nobody is the same. People want to take day off. They're entitled to. They work 40 hours a week. Everybody a different job. But my job, it was like a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go with people. He said, Hector, I need this. I like it. I'm looking for this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And when I could not do something, I go home and I think how I'm going to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I came next day, I solved the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, it's very, very rare. But everybody's different, you know, and in life and work, not everybody's the same. Everybody's different. And that's why it's a system, you know. Now, the one who works good, he's entitled to make money.
Mm-hmm.
The one don't work too good, you know.
Yeah? Of course.
Okay.
All right, well.
Okay, bro.
That was some good advice, Dad.
Yeah, you think so?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I want to thank you for doing this with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're the reason I'm able to do all this. You sacrificed a lot for me as a child.
Yeah.
You know, you worked harder than you needed to put me and Joey through school.
Look, let me tell you something. I was born November 19, 1941, and it happened. I was working. I was already about 50 years old. And that was my birthday,
mm-hmm.
that November. And a job showed up. Mm. A guy wanted to put a track light. I said, I'll be there. I'm a professional. And I make $100. But what's my birthday? Then that night I took my wife to Dile with the money. You see? When it doesn't matter, okay, you have your holiday, your thing, but when it comes to money, you go for the money.
Mm.
Because we talk. It would not open the door. The money opened the door. We went in Atlantic City, him, all the family, and we went to the La Verdi, it's Italian restaurant there, in the casino. And we closed. I say, you close? Yeah, we'll open in 1 hour. I said, yeah. And having a tip, he said, open the door. And they put a table, and we like millionaire there. But I take everybody. So you see, sometimes money opened the door. Yeah, because he was close, but I had to wait an hour, but we were hungry. And I say, okay, And then I said, well, we're going to see a show. So I went down there to the show bowl, and I say, I want to see the show, and I want a good section. So $100 a tip. He said, okay. When you come to me. It must be happy, whatever the thing was. So he said, okay, put Hector in the front, me and my family. And I said, okay. And sometimes if we are, people don't want to listen to nothing. People want to see the money. I guess the money makes the world go around. Anyhow, but I learned a lot, and it's life is weird, and the main thing in life is to be healthy. If you're not healthy, you're not gonna go nowhere. Mm. You're healthy, you know. I'm happy, healthy, 78. I cannot go nowhere. Okay, go ahead.
No, so. So thank you for doing this with me, Dad.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you for all you did for us when we were kids. You put us through school. There was always food on the table. I never had to go hungry because you worked so hard.
Yeah.
And just so you know, the reason I work so hard is to pay respect to how hard you've worked and to be able to provide for my family as well. So you taught me well.
Thank you, baby.
So I want to thank you. I want to commend you. I think your story, especially in 2019, is even more important than ever before. And I'm glad we could do this together. And I know you just turned 78 this month. So happy birthday, Dad. And I love you. Thank you for doing this with me.
All right. God bless you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I did my best. Can I do it okay?
Hey, everybody. Doing this has been an absolute journey and an amazing time. I have learned so much, and I want to thank you all for listening in. If you kindly would, we would just ask you for your support. If you've liked the show, if you've gained anything from it, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or any of the other platforms where you are viewing this. We would greatly appreciate it, and it means the world.